Now we've got
the hour.
Peter.
We've got Peter on the phone. Let's just have a chat with Peter. Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
Hey, how are you doing?
Very, very well. I'm sitting here in the Viking Theatre talking to you.
You got a little bit of our uptown funk you up there. Do you like that song?
We definitely have a funky guy in Brendan Bean. He was funky.
He's going to be funky, you're, all right.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to tell us all about him, aren't you?
He knew how to have fun.
Yeah.
He said great things about alcohol. I mean, he's very well known as being a very famous drunk. But he actually said really insightful things about alcohol. He said, "I drink to make other people interesting."
Oh, was it Brendan Bean that said that?
He was the original one on that one.
You have to really pause and ponder on that sentence, don't you, really?
You really do.
Well, it depends on if you're drinking a blackout or not, you know what I mean? What extent of interest are we going for, like, you know?
Yeah. I know, I don't want to, I mean, look, I don't want to talk about...
He used to bring his typewriter into the pub as well, so, I mean, he wasn't just... Like, he used to write...
He once pawned his typewriter in a pawn shop in Cable Street, and there was a woman with her child begging outside, and he came out and gave her the money.
Oh.
That he got on the typewriter.
Oh, isn't that nice?
He had a real social conscience, you know?
Mm. Mm. So you've co-wrote this play about Brendan Bean called Meet the Queer Fellow.
Correct.
And can you tell us a bit about it? What's the premise?
Well, the premise is that Brendan Bean is dying in a Dublin street, which is kind of what happened to him. And as he's dying, he remembers that as a child he was told that the soul doesn't leave the body for about 2 hours after you die. So he has 2 hours in which to kind of relive his life and show to God that he deserves to get into heaven.
Oh,
and so the audience become the judges of whether he's going to make that rite of passage or not. So the 2 hours of the show are the final 2 hours of his life, where he flashes back through his life and shows us some of the key events and key moments in it, in order to try and convince us that he deserves to go to heaven. At the end of the show, the audience vote heaven or hell.
Oh, really?
That's class.
It is. It's a very interesting idea.
It's kind of a modern take on what's kind of a medieval thing, and the medieval dramas used to do this all the time. It would be kind of like a biblical thing where the audience would decide whether characters were saved or damned.
So, generally speaking,
the audience vote to save Brendan. That's
generally, but not always.
The Roman Colosseum.
There's always a few vote for him to go to hell, you know?
Yeah.
It's really almost like a jury, and a judge and jury that, you know,
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You know, you're judged by a group of your peers as to whether you've done ill or done good.
Wow.
Whether you merit reward or punishment. It's a little bit like, I mean, it kind of touches into too that kind of ISIS thing. You know, these guys going on suicide missions and they're delighted with themselves because they're going to be looked after by 77 virgins when they blow themselves into a million bees.
Mm. I mean, it's so interesting. But you have to unpack. This man, because you know the drinking was one aspect of his life and all of that.
Then,
but he was a literary genius. I mean, he was a colorful character, but he was also
a fantastic writer.
Gifted writer.
I mean, Barstool Boy is one of those books that is kind of unputtable down when you start reading it. It's 380, 400 pages, but there isn't a boring sentence in it. There isn't a moment in it where it feels like, oh God, would you get on with
filler,
the story?
Yeah. Mm.
It just has that inner life, you know, a book that has a great inner life.
Mm.
And it's sort of one of those books that once you've read it, you don't ever forget it. I mean, most books fade away from your memory, you know, after 5 years you're saying, did I read that book? But you wouldn't ever forget that you've read the book Barstool Boy, you know. And it has the most wonderful closing sequence, probably of any Irish book ever written. When Brendan comes home from Barstow, and he comes into the customs hall in Dublin, the customs officer recognises him and says to him, "Ah, Brendan O'Bacon, you're Brendan Bean." He says, "Yeah, I am." He says, "Oh, it must be wonderful to be home." He says, "Yeah, it's great to be home." And then he says to him in Irish, "Cathe go will she go hoon talk fess air?" And Brendan replies, "Cathe go will." Now in the Irish.
Yeah.
The translation of that is, "It must be wonderful to be free."
Oh,
to which Brendan replies, "It must.
Mm.
It must be wonderful." Now, the implication is that he's not free.
Mm.
And in the Irish language, you get that lovely irony beautifully. must be wonderful to be free. Yeah, it must be wonderful to be free because I'm not free. So right at the end of the book, you have this haunted figure who's wondering about what is freedom, what does freedom represent. And for Brendan, the rest of his life was trying to find that freedom, which he never quite got, you know. He was a very tortured soul, like, on many levels. He was tortured about his republicanism, tortured about his sexuality. And the show explores all of those aspects of his life. And it's a really, really fascinating play.
He's a person. I mean, Meet the Queer Fellow. I love the title of it.
Yeah.
You know, his life was an open book, no pun intended. And here you are with the show. Is there any part of his life that hasn't, that stone hasn't been unturned here? Or, you know...
There'd be still aspects of it. Yeah, I mean, you see, he grew up at a time when his mother married twice.
Right.
She had a previous marriage to a man called Furlong. Right. So Brendan had two half-brothers, Rory and Sean. I knew Rory really, really well. In fact, he lived in Clontarf. His widow was still alive.
Right.
So he grew up in a family where they were the second family. Mm. And he had this other family because his mother married twice. Now, it was very common for women to marry twice in those days, because very often husbands died in wars, First World War.
Right.
A lot of men died of the influenza epidemic in 1918, so a lot of women married twice. So in a lot of Dublin families, you had this thing of two families, and Brendan grew up in a two-family situation, which of course he found absolutely fascinating, and gave him a lot of meat for his books and stuff, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the Borstal Boy was made into a movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, I made it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that's my movie.
So you've always had
I've had a big Brendan Behan throughout my life. You know?
And when did that start? How did that kind of?
Well, it started when I was really young, because I met him with my father when I was about 10. My dad knew him, and met him on the street, and I was afraid of my life of him. He was just such a big character, you know, larger than life, shouting and cursing and.
Unpredictable,
unpredictable. So I was kind of afraid of him standing behind me dad, hiding behind me dad's couch, you know.
Yeah.
And then when Brendan was dying in 64, the nurse who was in charge of the ward where he was on it was an aunt of mine. Her name was Kathleen Mulholland from Dundalk, and she used to bring us all the stories about the madness that was going on in the Mead Hospital as Brendan was dying, and they were trying to bring him in alcohol. Mm-hmm. And the guy was dying of alcoholic poisoning, you know.
Yeah.
How mad the Irish are, you know. Let's give him the poison that's killing him.
Yeah, well, I suppose it might be too late for him anyway, they were thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Around the whole drinking, Peter, you know, it's a bit like, you know, when you read Ulysses and James Joyce and he you know, all these colourful characters around Dublin and all these famous watering holes. Did Brendan Behan have famous, are there famous watering holes now around the city of Dublin in particular, or maybe even further afield?
Yeah. Yeah, well, his big one was McDade's,
right,
in Harry Street, and the Bailey,
right,
in Duke Street. And then when you go to New York, the White Horse Tavern was one of his favourite pubs in New York City.
Wow. Yeah.
He drank in the White Horse Tavern a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the White Horse Tavern was the pub that Dylan Thomas had the 12 whiskies in,
right,
before he died, you know. And Brendan used to drink in there. He was a great admirer of Dylan Thomas, loved Dylan Thomas's poetry. So, you know. Yeah, there's bars that you would definitely associate with Brendan, you know.
Mm.
And what would what would Brendan's link to New York have been?
He spent a lot of time there.
Did he?
And you know, Brendan was one of the first really huge TV personalities.
Mm.
And that started with, he made an appearance on a show called The Malcolm Muggeridge Show in London in 1956 after his play The Queer Fellow went on. And he was drunk in the interview, and it was the first time that a drunk person had appeared on live television.
Oh, really? Brilliant.
There was absolute war over this, you know. There was like,
would have been a no-no,
editorials and newspapers and all sorts of things.
The shame,
written over the fact that, you know, how could we have a drunk Irishman on the BBC? This was such an outrage, such a scandal, you know. And, of course, Brendan, because he was drunk, started singing. He sang the red flag, the worker's flag is deepest red. I mean, it was outrageous to have a character like this on TV. And it made Brendan really famous.
Wow.
And then he became a big, huge personality on American television in the late 50s and early 60s. All the chat shows wanted Brendan being the Irish rebel, as they called him. And when I met Jack Nicholson, the actor, in California, I met him in Los Angeles. And he said to me, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Dublin." He says, "I love the rebel. I love the rebel."
God, he's gone, but not forgotten.
Brendan Bean.
The Irish
Everybody loved the rebel, you know.
But I suppose even now, if someone went on telly and got drunk, it'd still be quite controversial. So back then, it must have been just...
It might help some of the TV programmes.
No, true story.
Listen, I got to go and do a rehearsal here. Andy Murray's giving me that bad looks here.
Yeah, you have to go and practice.
I better go and do my job.
Well, thanks for joining us, Peter. Best of luck with it.
No problem.
So take the show, care. Yeah, I mean, where, when and where? And
it's on the Viking Theatre for the next 3 weeks.
Viking Theatre for the next 3 weeks.
And people can contact the Viking directly and get tickets.
Yeah.
Meet the Queer Fan.
And the tickets are €15 and €12 concession, is it? Yeah, perfect. Best of luck with it, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.